just to get down. Devin now. I wake up just to get down. Devin now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Ranked by their stars though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. The knees of the bees, man, people's champ, man, true now. I trust them with everything, every conference giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping them. Make you a champion, y'all put a sock in it, woo! But this is life, bro, they're at it all night though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
I wake up just to get down. Devi now. I wake up just to get down. Devi now. Hey, I wake up just to get down.
I don't know if they're
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Devi Happy Hour, episode 18. You can find the podcast on Twitter at Devi Happy Hour. Email us at devihappyhour@gmail.com. We are your source of knowledge for college football and the Devi landscape. This week, we're going to go down the mighty, we're going to do our rundown of the mighty, mighty SEC. We do have a couple user questions at the end. Why do I always say user? Good Lord. We have a couple listener questions at the end. But really, we're just going to dive right in because the SEC's got, I mean, we could literally talk for 4 hours on the players in the SEC. If you're unfamiliar with the SEC, pick that rock up, poke out, look at the sunshine. Look how beautiful it is outside. It's the SEC, baby. The East. The East consists of Georgia, Kentucky, Florida, South Carolina, Missouri, Vanderbilt, Tennessee. And the West consists of Alabama, Texas A&M, LSU, Mississippi State, Auburn, Ole Miss, and Arkansas. So real quick, we're just going to dive right into this. We all have kind of a lot of the same quarterbacks for our buys and sells. Oh, real quick. Geez, I can't believe I didn't introduce him. Before we get going, our co-host and the guy who's just sitting there looking at me with a ram over his head, Matt, how you doing, man?
What is up, Dwight? Good to talk to you. Glad to talk about the SEC today, man.
I'm sorry, man. I got on a roll there. I was just like reading. Bam. Yeah, it's all right. Unfortunately, Andrew is not going to be with us tonight. He had a prior engagement. We've been trying to schedule this episode for a week, so we got to get it out because next week's the big college preview, so we got to get it out this week. This is our last of the conference one, so Andrew unfortunately cannot be with us tonight. All right, we're just going to dive right in here. Crime Dog, who do you got for a sell at SEC?
You know, here we go, and we talk about these sells, and it's not because I don't like these guys most of the time, but it's all based off of value. And so my sell is going to be the one that you're going to get the most back from, and that's Tua Tagovailoa. One of my favorite players in college right now. He's just a lot of fun to watch. He's super talented, and I think he will be taken highly in next year's draft. Probably going to end up on a bad team, but that's all right. And I just think you're going to get the most return from him now. And I say that, and I just went and bought him in one of my leagues yesterday. So, like I said, it's not that I don't like him, but if you need to sell somebody and if you need to get return, if you have a contending team today, and that's probably somebody you want to look to sell just because you're going to get the most back from them. But love the talent, love the player, and I can't wait to see what Alabama's got in store for them this year with that receiving core. Good night.
Right, yeah. And Andrew actually wrote on his list he has Tua. I have Tua for the exact same reason. I don't doubt the talent, although I do doubt that he's going to be a super successful NFL quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a good quarterback. He doesn't have the biggest arm in the world, but he is so freaking accurate. And, you know, there's always those questions about the left. There's not many left-hand quarterbacks have made it, you know, and it's always, you know, for one reason or the other. I'm not really sure, but you would think he would just, but he, like he said, the what you can get for him, I mean, is just a shade under what people are getting for Trevor Lawrence. So, I'll take that sell all day for a guy that I'm honestly just not sure is going to be like a top flight NFL quarterback. Like I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be, I don't think Tua is going to be. So it's just kind of a preference thing. I think he'll be a good quarterback, but not a great one. So ironically, it's we all had that. So we all for once agreed. Crime Dog, you and Andrew both had the same bye as well. So who do you got there, bud?
Yeah, so we both went Jake Fromm, Georgia. I think he's generally considered the third running back in this class coming out next year. Obviously, that's if he declares, but he's fairly easily attainable, I guess, by what the market shows. He's not going to require a ton to go get. Will more than likely be drafted in the first round of this upcoming draft just because he's a quarterback and he's good. And I say, like, one of his greatest assets is his consistency, but he's got limited upside, right? So I think that's one of his biggest knocks. You're not expecting him to go in and tear the NFL up like we were just talking about with Tua. So there's obviously a little bit less expectations on Jake Fromm's side. But, he's going to get taken in the first round of the NFL draft more than likely, and there's a lot to be said for that. So buying him now, you're going to get more from him after the NFL draft, and for me, that's where the value's at. So I'd be trying to buy him now. While you can.
Right. Totally agree, man. I think we've only scratched the surface on what we can see what he can do. But unfortunately, I think Georgia's offense holds him back a little bit. They're not exactly the most quarterback friendly offense. Puts up good numbers, but you'd like to see like great numbers. But I don't think you're going to in that offense. They rely too much on, running and just more of a balanced attack. I'd really like to see him open up and let him really make some throws that I think he's capable of. So I think because of that, it is keeping his value depressed. I went with a couple younger guys for my buys. I actually have Bo Nix for Auburn. Guy I really like, a dual threat freshman quarterback. He's a little ways down the road. He might actually start this year, depending on if he can beat out Joey Gatewood or not. I think he's a much more talented quarterback, but Gatewood's pretty damn good in his own right. Bo Nix was the top dual threat quarterback that came in out of this last year. So he's a really good guy. I was kind of surprised he picked Auburn. Matt Corral is another guy I really like quite a bit. Ole Miss.
I think you got a good point, though. And if you want good buy value, then those are the two guys to go target. You're significantly cheaper than Fromm, and Fromm's fairly cheap in my opinion. So I like both of those names there. Good to watch anyways. Put them on your watch list.
Right, there you go. Matt Corral, that's right. He's a sophomore this year, but he should start for Ole Miss. And he was a four-star guy, the fourth-ranked pro quarterback coming out of his class. So got a really good arm, really good quarterback. I'd like to see what he does. I think he played some last year. No, he played in four games. He only attempted 22 passes, but I think he's pretty much on pace to start this year. And he's a guy I really like. I'm curious to see what they'll do to replace, losing AJ Brown and DK Metcalf and all that. So it's going to be tough there, but he's got the talent to do it. So, is there any other quarterbacks you can think of? I mean, there's a ton of good ones in the SEC.
So. Not at the top of my head, anyways.
Say Missouri got Kelly Bryant, but I'm not really too excited about that. LSU, I liked what I saw at Joe Burrow in the playoffs last year. So I'm kind of curious to see if he actually takes a step forward, because LSU's always had wide receivers and talent, but they have not had a good quarterback in a very long time. And I like Jake Bentley quite a bit from South Carolina as well. I don't think
the only other one I could think about is the kid from Vandy, but I can't remember his name, but I know he's got some eyes on him.
Riley Neal. There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Riley Neal. He's got the capability to put up some numbers. I'd be kind of curious to see what he's a guy I haven't watched a whole lot of, so I don't know how good he actually is, but he's got, Keyshawn Vaughn, Jared Pinkney and Kalijah Lipscomb. They've got a pretty good offense there. So I don't know if it's the offense making him look good. So he's a guy I'm curious to watch a little bit more. So, so there's some good quarterbacks there in the SEC. But I think the big names are, your Tua and your Fromm. And then, the couple guys that I brought up might make it in the NFL. But, we got some guys coming down the pipeline. So, SEC's – I think defense when I think SEC. But, SEC's got everybody nowadays. So,
yeah,
it feels like – probably half the draft comes from the SEC. So it's crazy. So we'll bounce over to running backs. There are a lot of good running backs, man. Crime Dog, who do you got for your buys in the SEC?
So my buy, I could have probably wrote down about 18 names. Favorite buy right now is John Emery down at LSU. Number 2 ranked running back coming out per 24/7. Great size as a incoming freshman, 6'2", 201, but with that 4.42 speed and a 4.2 shuttle. So that's obviously perks my ears and my eyeballs a little bit. I really liked the vision that he showed, even in the high school film. So not when it was necessarily some big wide open, you know, gap that was created, but he showed good vision as a high school running back. And I, you know, that leads him to the number two ranking that he got most of it, you know, outside of just the physical abilities. And then he has a really good stride that looks smooth. I'm a big fan of a fluid type look for some of these skill positions. And he showed that. So I'm extremely excited to see what his future holds in the next couple of years down at LSU. Now's the time to buy before he takes that starting job over. And then, you know, LSU's been pumping out the running back. So he definitely got the highlight on his name on my watch list and somebody I want to buy now.
He's a guy. Oh, sorry. He's a guy that could very quickly be a starter.
Yeah.
And he's only a freshman and he could easily be a starter this year. He's that much better than every other back on that team. So who's your other buy? Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no problem, man. So I put LaMichael Perine, maybe one of the Debbie Happy Hour favorites now with that first name of his. Excellent size, 5'11", 227, so a little bit thicker guy. He is going into his senior year, so, you know, a lot of people thought he was coming out last year. But he's averaged 6.2 yards a carry last year, and that was sharing time with Jordan Scarlett. It was kind of a RBBC down there. But 6.5 yards of carry, almost 6.5 yards of carry down in the SEC. That's nothing to bat an eye at. And, you know, going into senior year, I was hoping Andrew would chime in on this, but more than likely he'll end up at the Senior Bowl. And I kind of thought it was cool that he's actually from Mobile, Alabama, too. So definitely somebody who's not in that top 24 in most people, Debbie's rankings, in that next wave for sure, a couple tiers down. But is a good running back, and I think he has some draft pedigree. We'll see what that is, but he's one to watch for sure, and is a cheaper buy right now.
Andrew actually had Zamir White, which I think is an interesting name that's kind of been pushed aside. He was the top ranked running back out of the 2018 class, so he's now a sophomore. Thinking of worries me about him is he's now had two torn ACLs. He missed all of last year based on a torn ACL, and he missed part of a high school year based on a torn ACL too. I think it was opposite ones. So still, that still scares you a little bit, but if he gets on the field, he is so stupid talented. So I think he has the shot to be the next big Georgia back if he can stay healthy. So, and my buy actually feeds right into that, a guy that's also out for this year, Trey Sanders, who him and Embry were like the two backs coming out this year. And I think if somebody's worried, you know, this guy just hurt his foot and is going to miss this whole year, you might be able to get him for a song, like a throw in.
Yeah.
And he's, I don't think he would have seen the field this year anyway, honestly. So I don't think it's a huge loss for him to sit this year. And I absolutely love the talent there. And I put Najee Harris just because I feel like he's not getting the love for next year. You know, everybody's talking about Taylor and Dobbins and ATN and Swift. And, you know, he's like the seventh or eighth guy on the list, but he is really damn good. And I mean, if they give him a chance, he's as good as a back they've had come out of there for a while. So he's a five-star guy. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, commonplace when you talk about Alabama. He's a five-star guy that's just a beast. And I'd like to see him. He's a big guy. So I'd like to see what he can do. Andrew has him as a sell, and I can kind of understand it as well. I do worry about his size. He's a big guy, and the big running backs from there have not done well, Derrick Henry. So you kind of worry about that a little bit, but yeah. So I could see either way. I think he'll be a good back in the NFL.
And I think he's going to get an uptick in workload this year, right? With Trey Sanders being done for the year. Yeah, they got Brian Robertson, and he's great. I mean, all the Bama backs are good, but they usually implement 2 to 3 guys every year and keep their guys fresh, and that's what we like about them too. At the end of the year, they don't have 300 carries, and you know, kind of don't want to see Najee get that many touches, and he probably is going to see sub 200 touches, but he's just got to do enough to bolster his draft status, get him a, you know, third, fourth round grade or something like that, and that's well worth it at the price that he is now. So. No, I like that.
See, I actually think he will get more touches. I like Brian Robinson, but he's kind of like a faster, you know, type of a rollback type of thing. I don't see him taking a lot of touches. I think Najee will get a lion's share of them, unless, you know, someone else just really shows up, because that's, you know, how it is in Alabama. So your sell kind of surprised me. What do you got there?
That's another one, and I got to do the disclaimer. This is not because I don't like this guy. I've been one of the biggest DeAndre Swift fans that there is. I was just telling, you know, Dwight and I were just talking about it. I never wavered as him as my number one Devy prospect for the past 2 years. But it's just because of the return that you can get. And he's my RB1. When Etienne was admitting that he had the catching issues, or he got nervous about it or whatever else, and everyone was like, oh man, Swift's now the for sure RB1. But it's like, I don't know what the argument was before. A little short, I guess you could say, 5'9", but 215. So he's stout, excellent in the pass game, extremely shifty. And the best part about his shiftiness is he doesn't waste time or movement. So I'm selling him, but I'm selling his attributes of why he's great and why he's my RB1. But it would just only be if I got somebody coming at me with some trade to get, you know, him and something else to get a top flight running back in the NFL now. That would be my only sell, and it's just because of, you know, the Tua, the thing we're just talking about with Tua, you're going to get the most back, but don't go selling DeAndre Swift for anything less than a fantastic package that helps you today.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you're one running back away from winning the title and he's sitting there on your bench not helping, why not, man? Why not trade him for Devontae Freeman, or, you know, somebody who's going to help you win the title this year? You know, that's the only disclaimer. You know, that's kind of one of those things. Nobody's untradeable, even Trevor Lawrence. You know, but you got to get the right package. Don't just go off and trade them for, you know, just nothing. So, yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah, you know, it's, people love the name. So, my sell is kind of a weirder one, just because I like Kylan Hill, but I see the buzz that he's getting a little bit of buzz, starting to pick up some buzz, and I just don't think he's an every down NFL back. He's got a pretty decent size. He's 5'11", 215. Obviously, he's got good size. He catches passes. Yeah. I just when I see him run, I just don't see that elite traits that running backs have. He has good traits. You know, he's definitely a good back. And I see him sneaking up in there. I think he probably will not come out next year just because of the class that's coming out. I think he'll probably stick to his senior year. Maybe that'll help him. But he's a guy that I keep seeing like as a trendy type of name. And if you can get somebody to bite on a trendy name like that, I think you should, because I just don't see it with him.
I'm with you. I'm with you there a little bit. Just to chime in on Kylan Hill, not to put it out there, but I might be writing an article on him. I kind of put it out to the Twitter world who they wanted to see something on, and maybe because what you're saying, the trendy name, he got a lot of buzz and a lot of votes there. But just a couple items of note, just I'm looking at, like, Nick Fitzgerald had almost 100 more attempts on the ground than Kylan Hill did, and he still racked up over 6 yards of carry in the SEC and had 22 receptions last year, which I like. I'm with you. None of it was – I wouldn't say none of it. It wasn't like, oh, my God, this guy, right, when you're watching it. I feel like he should get better this year, and his name should continue to grow. So on that premise, I think there's some good buy potential. Just even if it doesn't really ever transpire to the next level, if you buy now, you could probably sell more, you know, in a year from now kind of thing. But I'm very interested to see what he does over the next 12 months, you know.
I'm also not going to lie. It's an A&M thing. I cannot trust players from that offense. Like, I can't in the NFL. A lot of them put up those numbers in college, and they just don't translate because that offense is just wide open, and it gets yards and it gets points, and I just don't trust it. So, I mean, he may, you know, be that talent. I just don't trust it. I can't. I've been burned too many times by him. So, do you have any other running back names you can think of? Or
I didn't even see what Andrew wrote down, but Keyshawn Vaughn obviously deserves some conversation there. He's obviously getting plenty of buzz around him, so we don't have to talk too much about that. Obviously, you can get into the James Cooks, and also down in Georgia. You know, is it too early to buy? Is it too early to buy Kendall Milton? he's still got one more year of high school, but he's somebody obviously I love, as everyone knows. There's a lot of backs down there, man, in the SEC. And odds are by the end of this season, there's going to be someone we're not talking about who jumps our way into the conversation too. So, man, a lot of good football down there.
Just kind of a funny side conversation. We both went back and forth on it on Twitter a little bit. There's a kid named Devontae Lee. If you can search his YouTube highlights, he's a two-star guy that plays for Nevada. And watch his high school tape. It is absolutely freaking awesome. The dude's got like four-inch legs, it looks like. And a torso is built like a freaking tank. And just watch him just run over people. It is so much fun to watch, man. I think you was it you that posted initially, or was it Ray? Or
It might have been Ray. I don't recall that. So that name's not familiar with me, but now I'm looking him up.
Nobody could really figure out his name. And then someone's like, hey, it's this dude. And then I looked it up.
Oh, geez. It's
Devontae Lee, D-E-V-O-N-T-E Lee. And holy shit, is he fun to watch. Yeah. You're like, dude, that guy's great. And he like hurdles people and he's just got these little tiny legs and just freaking, he is so much fun to watch, man. So he's one of the guys, not in the SEC, he's in Nevada, but still, you know, whatever.
Right.
I was just thinking about running backs and that was kind of fun to watch. All right. So this is where the money is, baby. Money, money, money. There's some really good wide receivers. I know there's really good everything in the SEC. All right, we'll go. We'll start with your buy since you have like seven of them. Who do you got there, Crime Dog?
See, there's good receivers down here too, man. I love it. So, one of the first guys I'll mention is a guy that we've talked about on this pod several times, and happens to correlate with one of the listener questions. But Bryan Edwards down in South Carolina, excellent size, 6'3", 215. He has top five upside, and that's, I mean, he has a baseline of what he is, but he really does have top five upside. He's continually gotten better in his time in South Carolina, but has never put up like super crazy numbers. Obviously, he played alongside Deebo Samuel the last couple of years. But he's that bigger wide receiver, and he has I wrote down center field type style. He goes up and gets a football, and he looks good doing it. I dare say Larry Fitzgerald-esque when he was at Pitt, because Larry did it better than anyone, but he goes up for those balls, even if they weren't meant for him. I watched some tape where there was a lobbed up ball and he went up and got it, and it wasn't even his target, you know? So I really like that about him. And the thing that I wrote down, and it's a really weird thing, I've never really paid attention to it like I did, but his tape showed he almost never went out of bounds intentionally. So even if he was up the sideline, he would always cut back in. He would always cut back in. He would always try to pick up more yards. And there's something about that fighting for it, dog type mentality we've talked about with other guys that he shows. And I feel like he has a real opportunity to really, you know, show some good stats this year. But he's a guy, man. And I think I have him in my top 15 Debbie rankings right now, but he's not generally looked at like that, I guess. And he definitely deserves to be in the conversation. So he's a guy that I'd want to buy. What do you think about Bryan?
Story. Yeah, I was going to say, I got to chime in here. I didn't notice this until somebody brought it up, that you see the disparity in his rankings. And I think when he is on, he is number two behind Jerry Jeudy. Like, he is that damn good. The problem is he seems like he takes plays off. Like, he seems like he takes halves off. Like, he just doesn't seem like he's got that hustle. And I don't know if part of it has to do with that offense.
Yeah.
Like, they don't feature him. You know, they don't try to make him part of that part of their game plan, it seemed like. So I don't know if that's why. So I'm curious to know more. But when he is on, I mean, he is freaking on. He is really damn good. And you've got to like a lot about what you see. And that's why when Cody brought it up, I mean, he's being overlooked-ish. There are some people that say he's number two or number three. There's some people that say he's like number 10. So it's just, you know, I think it depends on what games you watch and what you see. But you see parts of this great wide receiver, like every aspect of what you want out of a wide receiver. You see it, but you just don't see it all the time, which worries me a little bit. And I think if you saw it all the time, you would be talking about him behind Jerry Jeudy.
Like, I'm almost nervous that he might get like Kelvin Harmon, right? Where it was like this heavy dynasty darling that was coming up.
Sixth round, yeah.
And that's my concern. I did see an interview with him after the season wrapped up last year, before their bowl game, and maybe he had a chance to get evaluated for his draft stock, right? And essentially he was told, your draft stock's not there. And he was in that interview, and he kind of looked shook, but he looked more pissed off. And I like that. I kind of like to see his reaction a little bit there. And I hope that that is, I hope that is something that kind of fires him up a little bit, so he's not taking plays off, or he's not, you know, where he is trying to implement his talents all the time, because the ceiling, like I said, the ceiling is crazy. But he could very much turn into Kelvin Harmon too. So I don't know. We'll see how this pans out, but it's worth buying right now because his value is low. To
all right, who else you got for a buy?
The one of the other studs down in Alabama, and that's Henry Ruggs. I mean, the elite word gets thrown around, but elite speed. And the one thing I really loved about him for being a quote-unquote speedster was how good he was in contested situations. He's fighting for footballs, and it's not just call people out, but like the Will Fuller, give him a 9 route, go up the sidelines. He just needs to beat this guy, but wasn't really that good in contested situations or having to work in tight spaces. And Henry shows that all the time. There's one play in particular against LSU last year where he pulls down this one-hander that was thrown behind him, and the dude was all over him. But the way he just gets up and goes for the football, he's fighting for it. He, you know, maybe he's playing with Jerry Jeudy, so he's got a lot to prove. You know, he's got a lot. There's some big shoes down there, so maybe he needs to fight for his own name recognition and all that. And he's doing a fantastic job of it. And you know, everybody wants Jeudy at the 101, but if you can get Henry Ruggs in the second round of your Devy drafts, you're doing all right. The other thing I really like too is he had, I wrote, above average balance and then really good lower body strength. He's not easy to bring down, and he was breaking arm tackles left and right, and really showed that balance when there was contact. So I thought that was great. But I mean, this whole receiver group down there, you know, you can argue to go buy any of them, but I like where his value is at right now and where he's going, where you can get him.
Right. I think he's a name that's kind of creeping up too. Like I just did a DLF, staff rookie mock, and I think you went like 205. I was kind of shocked. I think we did 2020 and 2021 classes, and he still went like 205. I was kind of shocked because I see what you see, but then I also don't see like a complete guy either. I think I need to maybe watch more of him, but I haven't been overly impressed with the one I'm watched. I think he's good. I mean, I'm not going to ever say that. I mean, he's way better than I am. So not going to say that, but I don't see, and I need to see a little more of it, I guess, to kind of, and your third name was really interesting because it's a guy that I think probably almost nobody has heard of. He really should have.
I really like Jamar Chase down there in LSU. There's a lot of young guys at LSU that I think have a ton of ability to be in all of these conversations this time next year, just because they're all in the younger, you know, they're not eligible for 2 to 3 years. Just like I like John Emery, I think Jamar Chase, and then there's another receiver too, and his name is escaping me, but he was another top prospect coming out of high school. Those two could be a problem for the next couple of years down there. And, you know, obviously doing it against that kind of talent in the SEC. But I really like Jamar Chase coming out. I thought he was underrated as a high school prospect. Obviously, there's not a lot of tape and not a lot of stats and stuff on him from last year, his freshman year. But he looks good, and he's somebody that is on all my watch lists and all my leagues. And if I can get him somewhere later in my drafts, which is generally the case, I think he's going to be a real talent. So I'm a big fan, and I can't wait to see how that works over the next couple of years.
Yeah, there are some things that's another one of the reasons that I like. I think Joe Burrow's got a chance to grow there down there. So, yeah, they did actually bring in some wide receivers, and they've always had wide receivers. So, just not the quarterbacks. I don't know. I can't keep talking about Seth Williams. I feel like I have to bring him up on every show, but I think I'm like madly in love with the dude or something. I don't know, man. Like I almost put him for every position to buy. I love him that much. I think he's going to be one of the next greats to come in the NFL. So I won't keep waxing poetic about him. Actually, I have Tyree Cleveland, but I want to go over Andrew's guy because first time he put that, I didn't catch who it was, but now I remember who it is. For some reason, it totally escaped my mind. He picked Demetrius Robinson for his bye. 6 foot 190 is a 5-star guy that signed with Cal, actually. And his freshman year at Cal put up almost 800 yards and 7 touchdowns as a freshman. I don't know what – he had some issues last year, and then he ended up having to transfer to Georgia where he didn't play – he played in 4 games but didn't do anything last year. So he's basically a redshirt junior this year for Jake Fromm, and there is almost a barren wasteland at wide receiver in Georgia except for this dude. So, I mean, it's his job. If he wants to be the number one, it's his. And so I definitely see him as a great, great buy potential. He can come out this year if he does really well this year. Very, very talented guy. I just, for some reason, when I first saw the name, it kind of escaped me. He was the top ranked running or wide receiver in the 2016 class. So,
right.
Yeah. So he's a good guy. Good name, Andrew. Just totally escaped him. Yeah. He should be the number one in Georgia, I would imagine. So I like that name. And his sell was actually Tyreek Cleveland, which kind of surprised me because he's one of my buys. And I thought I was going to suck up to Andrew for once. Because I don't think you can sell him for a whole lot, honestly. He's a guy that, you know, is immensely talented, but hasn't really gotten much of a shot down there in Florida due to, you know, Felipe Franks had a pretty good year last year. But I think he's in a position where he could really step up and make his name and get up into the day two conversation of the draft if he has a really good year. I like a light up a lot about him. But Andrew apparently didn't, and I'd be curious to see why not. So Crime Dog went all Voldemort on this one. He said, the one he shall not type. So what do you got for yourself, man?
If you look at my sales down the board, it's actually a little bit crazy because a lot of these guys are considered their number one player. So, you know, it would take a whole lot for me to move him to sell him. But if we're talking about selling and getting back value, then Jerry Jeudy is the one that I'd have to sell. I put no notes next to my sell because there's not a whole lot to say about this guy that everyone doesn't already know. But you know, you could probably get some crazy return on some NFL talent now and or whatever, you know, King's ransom for him if you want, just because all the OBGA comps and everything else. But just like Swift and just like Tua and just like my tight end sell, which we'll get into, I don't want to sell these guys at all. But if I was at a point where I could and needed to, or, you know, was doing a complete overhaul, then, you know, it would definitely come up. I'm sure you'd be fielding offers. If you own Jerry Jeudy, I'm sure you're getting offers for him left and right. And I'm sure most of them aren't good enough. But if you get one that's good enough, then by all means, you know, capitalize. But, yeah, I don't know. The man is extremely talented and, you know, is just staying in the top two, top three of everyone's Devy rankings right now. So,
yeah, I think next year when we do this, maybe we should put you cannot pick the top guy for both of us.
Right.
We cannot sell the top guy because obviously, you know. I agree. You can get a small fortune for him at this point. Like, it's crazy. Like, he's getting the label of the next Beckham. Yeah. So you could probably almost wonder if you could trade Beckham for him. I bet you probably could. So, all right. Any other wide receivers you can think of in the SEC, man?
For sales?
Or just anything. Yeah. Like names that maybe we
yeah. Like, Jalen Waddle is a name that should be on everyone's radar. Another guy down in Alabama.
There's another quick guy. Anthony Swartz at Auburn is. I see him getting a little buzz. He's just a burner. He's like a track guy. Crazy, yeah. Crazy fast. Some people like Devontae Smith from Alabama too.
Right.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. So he's the cheapest of the four, and he's also good. You know, so.
So there's some names. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Looking through the teams, and I can't think of any offhand. Like. That I really wanted to highlight for this show. You know, there'll be some as we go along through the season and stuff. But all right, let's just blaze right into the tight ends. We kind of covered our listener questions, so we'll just do tight ends here. Andrew and I both have the same for a buy. Jared Pinkney from Vanderbilt. Really one of the brightest spots in the SEC as far as tight ends that maybe you haven't heard of. He had 50 grabs for almost 800 yards and 7 touchdowns last year. Great size at 6'4", 260. Moves really well, blocks well. He's actually a pretty complete tight end, and I think he's probably one of the few that could challenge Alvarado for the top tight end in this class with another good season like that. So he's a buy. I mean, absolutely a buy. Like, I think you could get him for probably almost a song at this point. Even those who have heard of him probably don't think much of him. So I think you could probably get him pretty damn cheap. And I also put in Hudson Henry from Arkansas, who's Hunter Henry's younger brother. He's smaller brother. Good Lord. His younger brother. And he's another guy who's hasn't really had much time to shine yet, but I like a lot of the talent. He was a 4-star guy that went into Arkansas. I'm a little scared of the offense in general. It has really never featured a tight end, but he's got all the tools you're looking for in a tight end. So another name that I'm kind of sort of buying if I have a late pick and, you know, throwing it at a tight end. So who do you got there, Crime Dog?
So my buy is just another one of these Alabama NFL farm guys, essentially. But Cameron Latu, and he's a converted linebacker. He was playing linebacker his freshman year, but was a stud, and I believe four-star athlete at both linebacker and tight end, and I hope I'm not butchering that, but was a stud at both positions in high school. Went to Alabama as a linebacker, and then they converted him to tight end over this past year, and or over this past offseason. He's got great hips, not terrific route running, and that's kind of to be expected in a, you know, first-year tight end type guy. I think you can work on that, though, because he is really athletic. But some of his high school tape, really good at high-pointing the football, really good hands, and he plays the position like a linebacker, and I love that. You know, and, I mean, he's a linebacker at heart. I, you know, like him, I was a linebacker D end at heart. When I got to go play tight end in certain sets, like, I was loving it, and I was trying to run somebody over. So it's I like seeing that kind of that kind of physicality, that kind of attitude in a position, in an offensive position where it's generally not looked at like that. There's obviously a bunch of good tight ends in Alabama, but this is a guy way deep, you know, way down, you know, not even probably on anybody's roster or radar, but somebody you can go get now or start watching now and then maybe look for that time to buy. Kid's super talented, though, and I'm curious to see how this transpires down there in Alabama.
Right. Nice. Yeah, because like I said this before the show, they have, like, I think four-star tight ends on their roster. So, like, any of them could emerge, and they're all, like, obviously immensely talented. So right. I like it. You and Andrew both have the same for a sell. I didn't even have a sell. I apparently blanked out when I got that far. What do you got?
I'm just sticking true to the theme here, and that's selling the number one in each position, and that's Albert O. I'll respect him and not pronounce his last name. Missouri tight end, though, 6'5", 255, is generally considered number one tight end coming out in this upcoming season. He's got it all. He's got size, athleticism. He's really talented, and he's really good. I feel like watching the tape, though, it's really weird how they use him. I don't know if it's just the play calling, if they just continue to expose defenses. But almost all of his touchdowns come from a seam up the middle, quick little, you know, head fake outside right up the middle, and they're running their receivers wide. So it's either two safety setups, but they just exposed so many teams on that all year long. And I would love to know, like, the yardage percentage of where he got most of his production. And I bet you it's right there in that seam. So that was his deal. He also was really good at showing, I know he's my sell, but I'm like selling all his high points. He was really good at showing his route running decision-making. So setting up certain routes, and confusing linebackers and safeties who aren't necessarily known for their coverage skills. And that's kind of an advanced deal that I saw in him that's really good, that, you know, makes him the number one tight end. But, you know, he's a guy you're going to get the most from. I was kind of thinking, you know, obviously tight ends usually take a few years to develop in the NFL. And if you can get a guy like, and the first name that came to mind was David Njoku, who some people are kind of fading a little bit. David's going into his third year. I'm kind of hoping that he starts to take a step forward. But if you can sell the number one tight end coming out for the next class and get somebody who could really emerge in the NFL now, I'd gladly be trying to do that. So just trying to get the return there.
I just remembered I was watching Drew Lock, and it always popped out to me how open Alberto always was.
Right.
And his hands are so good. But if you need that value, he's probably only the only talent in next year's class that you could really get that type of value for. Like, I think it's him and Colby Parkinson. That's about it, you know, right, that are considered like that top tight end next year. So, yeah, like with the theme, I can understand that. I don't know if you had anybody else. Actually, Baylor Cup. Why am I not thinking? Why did I miss him? A&M, right?
I think you're right.
I'm trying to pull this up. Yes. Oh, my God. I don't know how I forgot Baylor Cup from Texas A&M. Bye, 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 bye. Baylor Cup is a badass mofo. Like, I absolutely love watching him play. His high school tape was crazy. 6'6", 250. He came out as the number one tight end last year, signed with A&M, and I think he's going to be really damn good. He's a guy I really like quite a bit. Like, his high school tape's crazy. I mean, he's such good hands, such good route runner. I don't know why I totally forgot him. I love it, man. I love Baylor Cup. So that's a name I totally forgot, actually. I should have put him as my bye. So.
Yeah, yes. I guess the number one tight end coming out is worth mentioning. So shame on us.
Yeah, I forgot about him. I have him in, I think, probably 75% of my Debbie team. So anyways, yeah. Okay, that about covers tight ends. And we just have one more listener question that we didn't really cover. Well, we kind of covered, but yeah. Gat Merith asked, is Jerry Jeudy good? It's spelled, it looks just like Matt Griffith, except it's got a G and an M. It's the weirdest name I've ever seen. So, yeah. Yes, Jerry Jeudy is good. Anyways, nice try, Matt.
Anyway, messing with you. You had Jerry Jeudy. Well, so people can't see the show sheet. Dwight had a Jerry Jeudy as his bye running back, bye quarterback, bye receiver, and bye tight end. So I was curious to know if that guy was any good or not.
Yeah, he's all right. He's hashtag good. So okay, Matt. Tell everybody what basically where they can find you, what you're working on, stuff like that.
Yeah, so I'm Matt Commish McGriff on Twitter. Just updated my Devy rankings today on the Dynasty Happy Hour website. Go to Devy rankings. We got a handful of us on there doing Devy rankings. You can filter mine if you want. Just for fun, I was looking at that, and out of my top 12, there's only two SEC guys. So, well, they're one and two, but still kind of interesting looking at that as we're covering the SEC today. I'm kind of going to let some of the Twitter folks help decide some of the next articles I'm going to be doing. And I think based off of the poll that's out there now, the next one will be on Kylan Hill. If not Najee Harris, I'll have to go see where that's at. And then going to be doing a series of Devy articles here over the next month or so as the season's kicking off. And hopefully start to put some more names on people's radars. And that's it, man. I was supposed to be hunting this weekend, but that got canceled. So now maybe I could just get to writing. So, but yeah, I Commish McGriff on Twitter, guys. And I love the conversation and interaction. So come hit me up.
All right. You can find me on Twitter at FF Peebles Champ, writing for DLF. I just released a couple articles about defensive linemen and defensive rookies that I want to buy. And we're kind of still just in that mindset. You can find me also this weekend. I'll be in Canton at the Midwest Fantasy Football Expo with a whole ton of people. So that should be pretty good. If you are there, look for me. I'll be wearing a name tag as I walk around town, even into bars and stuff, because I don't know anybody and I'm hoping to meet some of you people. So I'm going to be wearing a name tag like a ding dong all over town. So like I'm some sort of VIP or something. And you can, once again, you can find this podcast on Twitter at Devy Happy Hour. And you can also, if you have any questions, email us devyhappyhour@gmail.com. And next week, we got a huge, 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 huge show. It's kind of like our college kickoff. We got a couple big games next weekend. Miami plays Florida. I can't remember the other one. There's another big game I'm excited to watch. So like next weekend's kind of like a pseudo cook kickoff. There's not a ton of games, but there's a couple of really good ones. And then the weekend after that, it's just full board, baby. Like all the games start the weekend of the 31st. So it's college time. It's done. Ready. Ready, ready, ready.
We need it. We need real football to kind of break up the Twitter chatter, man. Let's get some football games going. I'm
tired of talking to Antonio Brown's foot/helmet/left braid on his right earlobe. I'm tired of talking about Antonio Brown, baby. It's college football.
Let's do it.
All right. We will talk to you guys next week.